This is KFIZ Radio and First Presbyterian Church, located at 1225 4th Street here in Fond du Lac. Thank you for joining us this morning in prayer and devotion.
Please join me in reading Psalm 148 together responsively. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from heaven. Praise God on the heights. Praise God, all of you who are his messengers. Praise God, all of you who comprise his heavenly forces. Sun and moon, praise God. All of your bright stars, praise God. You highest heaven, praise God. Do the same, you waters that are above the sky. Let all of these praise the Lord's name, because God gave the command and they were created. God set them in place always and forever. God made a law that will not be broken. Praise the Lord from the earth, and you sea monsters and all you ocean depths. Do the same, fire and hail, snow and smoke, stormy wind that does what God says. Do the same, you mountains, every single hill, fruit trees, and every single cedar. Do the same, you animals, wild or tame, you creatures that creep along, and you birds that fly. Do the same, you kings of the earth and every single person, you princes and every single ruler on earth. Do the same, you young men, young women too, you who are old together with you who are young. Let all of these praise the Lord's name, because only God's name is high all over. Only God's majesty is over earth and heaven. God raised the strength of his people, the praise of all his faithful ones, the Israelites, the people who are close to him. Praise the Lord.
Our second scripture reading is from the Acts of Apostles, chapter 11, verses 1 through 18. The apostles and the brothers and sisters throughout Judea heard that even the Gentiles had welcomed God's word. When Peter went up to Jerusalem, the circumcised believers criticized him. They accused him. You went into the home of the uncircumcised and ate with them. Step by step, Peter explained what had happened. I was in the city of Joppa, praying when I had a visionary experience. In my vision, I saw something like a large linen sheet being lowered from heaven by its four corners. It came all the way down to me, and I stared at it. Wondering what it was, I saw four-legged animals, including wild beasts, as well as reptiles and wild birds. I heard a voice say, "Get up, Peter. Kill and eat." I responded, "Absolutely not, Lord. Nothing impure or unclean has ever entered my mouth." The voice from heaven spoke a second time, "Never consider unclean what God has made pure." This happened three times. Then everything was pulled back into heaven. At that moment, three men who had been sent to me from Caesarea arrived at the house where we were staying. The Spirit told me to go with them, even though they were Gentiles. These six brothers also went with me. And we entered that man's house. He reported to us how he had seen an angel standing in his house saying, "Send to Joppa and summon Simon, who is known as Peter. He will tell you and your entire household how they can be saved." When I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell onto them, just as the Spirit fell onto us in the beginning. I remember the Lord's words, "John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." If God gave them the same gift he gave us, who believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, then who am I? Could I stand in God's way? Once the apostles and other believers heard this, they calmed down. They praised God and concluded, "So then God has enabled Gentiles to change their hearts and lives so that they might live a new life."
Please pray with me. Lord, make my words be a channel of your peace and allow us to be a channel of your peace as you change our hearts from the inside out. Amen. Today, as we recognize our nine high school graduates, we embrace in the celebrations of the completion of this portion of their educational career. We also share both in the excitement and the uncertainty of the journey that's ahead of them as parents of at least one of these graduates, we know well the roller coaster of emotions that's connected with all these changes that are taking place. Roller coaster of emotions, not only for us as parents, but for the students, for all of those who have opened your hearts to connect, to nurture, to encourage these young people, to use the gifts that they've been given by God to the fullest potential. Graduation is, in some ways, a rite of passage in which we change from being a youth into becoming an adult. Now, for some of us, it might be a little bit longer journey than it is for others making that transition. But it still marks that transition. It's a transition, a time of change, becoming someone new. I often hear people say, well, we just don't like change. People don't like change. Yes and no. There are many situations in which that statement does seem true, but it isn't 100% accurate, I don't believe. You could ask graduates, and I think they, along with others, would say, yeah, I'm excited. I like change. People like change when they understand how they're going to experience some sort of benefit, achieve some sort of goal. I can tell you stories of people willing to make all sorts of changes when they realize that, you know what, I'm going to make more money. I'm going to be put into a much better position in life. I've also could tell you many stories of people who've refused change and said, I don't need that extra money. I don't need that change. I'm okay where I'm at. There are people who make drastic changes to further their life. Sometimes we're forced to make those drastic changes. There are people around the country today and our neighbors, not too far away, who have been forced to make drastic change because of natural disasters, tornadoes, wind. You can also tell all sorts of stories about people so resistant to change, they'd rather die. Sometimes for a noble, worthy purpose, and other times in a way that makes no sense to us, but it does to them. So what is it about change that we really don't like? People value different things in different ways, don't we? But ultimately, people don't like loss. We are resistant to change when we know there is a loss that we really don't want to go through. Sometimes that's easier to do than others. In our society, one of the hardest changes, the greatest things to lose, is a sense of being in control. I mean, that's part of the world that we live in. Almost all of being an American is about achievement. It's one of the core principles that we have in our American way of life. You can become anything that you want to be. How many of you have heard that told to you at some point or another? You can be anything you want to be. Okay, many of you haven't heard that, or are you just not raising your hand? I think we've all heard that at some point. But yet, is that really the best? Is it about us being in control? Most of us, we don't like to admit when we're not in control. Sometimes it's nice to be able to let others be the ones in control, because they're the ones that have to take responsibility, whether it succeeds or fails. But we like to have a sense of control in some way or another. There are those who say that the main purpose of religion is to maintain control of people. Now, unfortunately, yeah, that is true for some within pretty much every religious belief, but that's not the main purpose intended by the triune God who created all things. That is not the purpose of our faith. God has given us various commands, as Jennifer talked about in the children's moment, ways in which the people of God are to live, things we're to do and not do throughout time. But these are commands to prevent harm to God's people, commands to protect us, to allow us to enjoy life, not to control us. The Hebrew people, including Jewish people who are descendants of the tribe of Judah, they were commanded by God to not become unclean like the Gentiles. Now, as we think about all this, we need to remember where these terms Hebrew, Gentile, where they all come from. The term Hebrew actually comes from a word meaning opposed, on the other side, or crossing over. The Hebrew people, beginning with Abraham in Genesis chapter 14, were those who stood with God against, opposed to, over and against all other nations. From the very beginning, continuing on today, the people of God are those called to be set apart. Be set apart from people that wanted to live under human authority. And that word Gentile, that means all other nations. Everybody else that's living underneath human authority. So as God's people, we are to be countercultural. We're to be different, set apart, opposed to, different than all others who are focusing on human gods, idols. The Jewish people, Jewish community at the time of Jesus, they came to understand that following God's commands, that was, in a sense, the end goal. That's what was most important. They forgot that those commands were there to guide them and protect them for a better way of life. And that way of life is what was most important. Jesus proclaimed the good news of living under the authority of God's kingdom, not as an oppressive, controlling way of living, but as living as a part of a kingdom that's not of this world, not of human origin and human authority. And this way of life brought about a significant change, a change that some of the Jewish people grasped and understood, and others continued to refuse. One of the most significant changes is recorded in Acts chapter 10. And then in today's reading, Peter is criticized for following or for not following the commands that God had given. He's criticized, and so he goes through and he recounts step by step the events that took place that are recorded in Acts chapter 10. And we're told, once the apostles and the other believers heard what Peter had said, they calmed down. Oh, now they knew another part of the story. They had another frame to view all of these things through. And they praised God and concluded, God has enabled Gentiles to change their hearts and lives so they might have a new life. God has enabled all the other nations of the world to change their hearts and lives. It was out of their control. The key shift from Peter's perspective was when he realized there in the midst of all of Cornelius' family and household and all of these Gentiles who were worshiping God, but they were all outsiders. The Holy Spirit came on them and was poured out on them. And Peter said, if God gave them the same Spirit he gave to us, who am I? Could I stand in God's way? Peter realized that the commands that God had given were not meant, intended, to keep others out and to say, oh, you're wrong, you don't belong here. Nope. Woo. In a sense, rather, they were intended to not become like everybody else around them, which, ironically, they, in a sense, had. And they started worshiping the idols of the law, the letter of the law, and forgot all about the intent of the law. And that's gotten me wondering, in what ways is the modern Christian community gathered in places like this all around the world? How have we become like the Jewish community of Jesus' day? In what ways do we worship following the letter of the law rather than being open to the intent of the law? In what ways have we become idolatrous in our worship? In what ways have aspects of our Christian faith become more important than loving our neighbor and loving God and accepting forgiveness by forgiving others? How might we read God's word as God intended, so that God's word doesn't become an idol of itself to keep us from becoming people who are serving things of human origin? In what ways do you and I see the power at work, a power of the Holy Spirit at work in people's lives that we'd look at and go, yeah, boy, I don't think you're a Christian. What church do you go to? Oh, you don't? Oh, I don't know. Do you ascribe to these doctrinal beliefs? In what ways do our hearts need to be softened and changed, and we need to step out of God's way? How might God be enabling change in the hearts of people that you and I have labeled as outsiders, people don't deserve God's grace? None of us deserves God's grace. Who are we? Can we stand in God's way? No, we cannot. May we learn to calm down a little bit. And may that calmness allow us to embrace excitement and authority of seeing God at work and embracing the ways in which God is enabling change in our world. Changes for what it means to be God's people, so that all might have new life. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.
So, have you ever had a dream about food before? You really? Oh, I tried to think. I don't think I have, but this one's about a hamburger. Anybody ever had a dream about a hamburger or some kind of food? No? Did you hear the scripture that Eli read today was about Peter's dream, and he was dreaming about some food, and that dream about food actually changed the way he thought about a lot of things. Did you hear that? So back in that time when that scripture was written, Jewish people, they just didn't really hang out with people that weren't Jewish, the Gentiles. They didn't hang out together. They didn't eat together. They didn't go to the same places. They just didn't hang out. And they didn't eat together especially because there were certain foods that the rules that they had when they were, the Jewish people had, meant they couldn't eat some of those foods. And so we just didn't eat those unclean things, and those Gentiles, they ate those things. So Peter had that vision. But what was that vision about? Do you remember? There was like a sheet. Yes. Animals came down and it said, go ahead, eat that stuff. And he's like, no. Yeah, you're right. He said, nope, I've never had unclean things, so no. And that happened not once, not twice, but three times. And then it went back up. And he woke up and he thought, wow, that was a weird dream. Have you ever had a wake up in the morning and thought, wow, that was a very strange dream. I'm not sure what that means. So then some people knocked on his door and said, come with me. We want you to see this man over in this other place. And he is a Gentile. Ooh. Did he go? He did. And he went there, and when he was there, what did he think about? He thought about, I had this dream that told me that all that God's made is clean. And so, oh, wow, he went and talked to them. And because he went and talked to them, what happened? Those people learned about Jesus. They learned to follow Jesus. They learned all about Jesus' love, and they became Christians as well, right? Yeah. So the people that were a little bit upset, the people that were making sure everybody followed all the rules, they were wondering, why are you talking to these Gentile people? And he told them the story. And when he told them the story, they all remembered about the Holy Spirit, right? So that was a pretty crazy dream. Sometimes we have things in our world that happen to us that we're not really understanding. We have people that God puts into our lives that teach us about things and tell us about things. We have experiences that don't really make sense right away, but later on when we think about them, when we pray about them, when we talk about them with other people in Sunday school or with mom and dad or grandma and grandpa, they make a little bit more sense. God talks to us in many different ways, maybe even in a dream about a hamburger, right? We don't know. The main thing to remember about Peter's story is that God's love is for everybody, right? And God can talk to us in many different ways to keep our eyes and our hearts and our ears open at all times. Let's take a little of that time right now and talk with God. Loving and gracious God, we thank you so much for the love that you give to us each and every day. We know that sometimes we have rules that we follow and we have things that we believe and ways that we think. And we know that your spirit, that you are here to help us to see your love in every part of our lives. We ask that you would help us to change our minds on those things that we need to change. We ask that you would help us to take the love that you give us and share it with everyone that we meet. We know that your love is for everyone, and we want to make sure that we are able to share your good news with the world. We pray all these things in Jesus' name, and all God's children said, amen.
Thank you for joining us in this time of prayer and devotion. We are First Presbyterian Church in Fond du Lac. We are Christians serving, learning, and loving. For more information about us, our phone number is 920-922-0425. You can find us on the web at www.fdlpresbyterian.org. We are located at 1225 4th Street and have in-person worship on Sundays at 9 a.m. Staff nursery is available for 3 years and under.